in the book of Daniel. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, the king had a dream. We all know the story, King Nebuchadnezzar. The king said to the wise men, astrologers, magicians, Chaldeans, said, make known to me the interpretation. They said, you tell us the dream, we'll tell you the interpretation. He says, I know you. I know what type you are. So I'm not going to tell you, you give me the interpretation, but I also want you to tell me what the dream is. Then I'll know you really heard. Then I know that if you tell me what the dream is, then I know you can give me the interpretation. But you're just going to lie to me. And so you know the story. They couldn't give it. And so the king said, kill all the wise men. Kill them all. And Daniel went into Arioch, the king's captain, and said, why is this decree so hasty from the king? I mean, what is it? And he told him what needed to happen. And verse 17 of chapter 2 says, then Daniel went to his house, made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And then verse 18, I love it, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven. Why? Because they had no answer. Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, they had no answer. Who could tell the king his dream? And so I felt like in this Ebola situation, I felt like I was reading an account, because we have no answer. But we talk like we do. If you listen to the news, well, we're confident that the American medical situation, nothing could ever spread here. And first they said that it would never even come to our shores if this thing is, and next thing you know. And while I'm watching the news and I hear this one man say it from the Obama administration, I thought to myself, my heart sank. Because I said, I'm noticing, where is the humility? Where is the humility? Who are you? Who are we to think? What makes you different from every other nation on the planet? What makes us different? That are you trusting in gloves and medical devices? And what are we trusting in? Daniel went in to seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And there are some people who think that everyone's going to die from this Ebola thing. And so it says in verse 19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Ask and you shall receive. They asked, and the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, not ours. Wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who understand. In other words, if you are wise and you understand anything, it's because God allowed you to have it. In every university on the face of the earth, if they know anything, it's because God allowed them to have it. We seem to forget that. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might. Daniel recognized where his wisdom, his strength, knowledge, and understanding came from. And have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. I've been praying, not only for our nation, but for the nations. Lord, help us. Help us first to know how much we need you. We can't do this. We think we can, but we can't. I'm sure you heard another, worker at the Dallas hospital was infected with Ebola because they probably weren't handling things right. Why? Because they don't. No, but we say we know, but we don't know, because other people wouldn't be affected if we knew. How do you get someone to know something who thinks they already know everything? You can't. Praying for the nations. Lord, help us. Help us. And so, Daniel went on to say to the king, but there is a God. Let me see, verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven. Who reveals secrets. A secret is something you don't know. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. I was telling, just sharing some things with my children on this. Just the nature of this particular scripture. The Lord gave an unsaved king a dream about history that would happen, about a future some 1,000 to 1,500 years in the future. He gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream about the Assyrian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, different empires, laid it out for like 1,500 years. The king saw it all in one night in a dream. It's astounding. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. And as for you, O king, thoughts came into your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. And now, verse 30, I'll stop with this. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. This secret that has been revealed to me because I have has not been revealed to me, rather, because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, what he's saying, so that we may not die. And that's what I'm praying. Lord, reveal it to us so that people may not die. My heart broke for Eric Duncan and his passing, for everyone in Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia when they pass. I was like, Lord, help us. And that you may know the thoughts of your heart. So we pray. Many people aren't told that Nigeria has had 5-7 cases of Ebola. All of them have been stopped, or 2 passed, but the others have been contained and they have had no spread of the disease. Why? Because they're doing something right. God help us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, O God, that you are the revealer of secrets. Lord, that you know all things and nothing has been withheld from you. Father, we pray first for our own selves and the humility necessary, Lord, to hear from you. Lord, to know that we don't have all the answers and to cry mightily to heaven. Lord, for help, O God. Lord, that there would be intercession, that there would be humility, that there would be wisdom, that there would be a sobriety about this. Father, we pray, Lord, that the church would know how to pray. Lord, as we confess, Lord, our utter need for you, we pray for our leaders. We pray for our government. We pray for those in authority, Lord, in Sierra Leone and Guinea and Liberia, and that they would get the help necessary. Lord, that the world would respond. Lord, that our leaders here in America and other nations, Lord, would respond appropriately. Lord, that many lives would be saved, but Lord, saved after we hear, saved after we receive wisdom and knowledge and understanding from you. And so we pray, Lord, that you would come and do what man has not had the ability to do. Lord, we humble ourselves before you, and we cry out for your help in all of these needs and all of these countries. Lord, what needs to be done? Father, we pray for breakthrough. Lord, and that we would see it done in Jesus' name, that salvation would come to many. Lord, that your name would be lifted high and glorified in the midst of this, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. So we're going to forego the greeting, and we can do that afterward. I'm going to go right to the message here. We've been working our way through the book of Hebrews, and I thought I would get far today. However, I think we'll maybe get a couple verses in. How's that? Father, help us now as we come to your word. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Prepare each heart to hear, Lord, and receive what you, Holy Spirit, are saying to the church in this hour. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. As I was studying Hebrews chapter 13, that's where we are in verse 15. I was reminded of a song we used to sing. It went like this. Come, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Come, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. Come and offer sacrifices. Come and offer praise unto our God. Yeah, I see. So Zelda remembers that song. We used to sing that song all the time in the worship service here in the church. And it just was coming back to me as I was studying this. I'm like, wait a second, I remember that. And I got on Google and looked it up. And sure enough, there it was. It's a Hosanna Integrity song back when they first probably would have started coming out with these praise and worship tapes. And that song would have come directly from the text that we're going to be looking at today in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Let me read it for you. It goes like this. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And verse 16 adds, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Last week, we looked at verses, I believe it would have been 11 through 14. And 14 is, I'm going to read that because 15 is based upon it. It says this, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And every time I read this thing, I get all excited. I get stirred up because you read the Bible, you know the city is there. It's already there. The city of the living God, New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, coming down from God out of heaven. John the Revelator says, and there's this city. And the writer says, for here we have no continuing city. And as you think about kingdoms, how they've come and how they've gone. I was telling my children today about that story in the book of Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, he saw a head of gold, chest of bronze or of silver, you know, belly of bronze, and it went on down to the clay and iron toes. And I was just talking to him how that was history. And God, when you study the kingdoms, that was historic, and that this little old stone came rolling down and hit the statue in its toe, this little stone. And when it hit the statue in its toe, the whole thing began to crumble and fall down. And that little tiny stone grew and grew until it filled the whole earth. And that kingdom, Daniel said, that kingdom will have no end. And then I looked at my children and said, we are in that kingdom today. My God, we're in that kingdom. That little kingdom that grew, because it's a picture that the stones of clay and iron was representative of the Roman Empire. And Jesus came, you remember, while the Jews were under bondage to Rome. And he said when he came, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And his kingdom launched, and it started, and it filled the whole earth. I don't know if you've ever read the book, The City of God, written by Augustine, who was alive during the fall of Rome, and who wrote this. I'm reading it now. It's like, I don't know, 2,000 pages, something crazy. And he talks about the gods that they worshipped, the idols that they worshipped. In this book, but he was talking about how the city of God shall endure, but every city that man builds is coming down, and how Rome fell and that kingdom was destroyed, yet the kingdom of heaven that you and I belong to shall never pass away. It will endure forever. Think about that next time you're feeling, kind of insignificant and all this, that you dwell in a kingdom whose king shall live forever, and whose kingdom shall never pass away. Okay? That's where we are, right? So he says, for we have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We're looking for one to come. I hope you're looking. I hope you're looking. Every time I hear of man's failure in any regard, I look to heaven and say, Father, I thank you that my life is not in the hands of man, but my life is in the hands of an eternally loving Father who's going to bring and has established his kingdom so that we all might live with him forever. So, verse 15 comes, obviously, after verse 14. He says, therefore, why is he saying that? Because of verse 14, because of this city that's coming. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. In other words, in view of the great plan of redemption that has been secured for us by God through God the Father, through Christ his Son, what we're to be doing by the power of the indwelling Spirit is to offer to God continually the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks. Now, let me deal with this phrase by him, because what we have to realize and understand, even in that little by him, was that any time in Israel, any time a Israelite went to offer something to God, when you went to the altar, number one, you had to come with blood. Number two, you didn't offer without a priest. You remember that's what happened with Saul. Saul got in trouble. Samuel said, wait for me. I'm going to offer the offering. The king, before he went to battle, he always offered an offering, but the priest did it. And Saul did it and got in trouble. God rejected him because he offered that offering. He stepped out of his office. He was a king. He wasn't a priest. And so the scripture says, by him let us offer. Well, we can't offer without a priest, who is Jesus. He is our high priest. He's the one who represents us before God. See, the prophet spoke for God, from God to the people, but the priest spoke from the people to God. That's the way it worked. And so the priest was to offer the offering. You bring the offering, but the priest had to actually do it. You couldn't execute it. You could bring it, but you couldn't sacrifice it yourself. That was the priest's job. And so the scripture says, therefore, by him, by Jesus. Jesus wasn't only our high priest. Jesus fulfilled every Levitical sacrifice that was typified in the Old Testament. So that now when we come to offer, what we do not offer is blood. Blood sacrifice has been done away with because Jesus Christ now has fulfilled every Old Testament sacrifice with that regard, in regard to blood sacrifice. So therefore, by him, let us continually offer to God. What are we to offer? Well, it says it right here. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. It's interesting that the rabbis said this. They had this saying, as I recorded it from one commentary, the rabbis had an old saying, at a future time, all sacrifices shall cease. But praises shall not. That saying was attributed to rabbis who were speaking of the time of the Messiah. They said that when the Messiah comes, all sacrifices shall cease. The Jews knew this. They said, but only the sacrifices of praises, those are the only ones that will not stop. And so when we read Hebrews 13, 15, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise, it seems to affirm what the Jewish rabbis were saying of old. Psalms 50 certainly does. Listen at Psalms 50, verses 7 through 15. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, would I not tell you, for the world is mine, and all is fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? We know that God doesn't eat the way we do. God is a spirit. So he doesn't need our offerings for that purpose, or didn't need theirs. Verse 14 says this, offer to God thanksgiving. This is in the Old Testament, but speaking to their time, but also prophetically speaking to our time. What is the offering that we're to offer to God? Yes, I want a response. What is the offer that we're to offer to God? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. According to Psalm 50, in verse 15, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. He goes on and says this, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Offer to God thanksgiving. And why do we give thanks? We'll get to that a little bit later. But we know that someone has to do something for you in order for you to give thanks, typically. You don't just walk up to a perfect stranger and say, thank you. And they start looking around and, for what? Well, because they're expecting to have done something for you when you say thank you, right? Well, God said to the Israelites, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Has anybody seen the day of trouble? Has anybody been delivered by God? The day we got saved, we were delivered. If God did nothing else but save us, we ought to be saying, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right? As you grow older in the Lord and walk with him, I emailed my sisters a few days ago because as I was cleaning carpet in Southeast D.C., and some people, when you say Southeast D.C., some people go, oh, my goodness, you know. And so I was in Southeast, and I punched into my GPS, my neighborhood, my house where I grew up, and I was only 10 minutes away. So I drove over to Northeast D.C. In that spot, and it was rough when we were there. I mean, it was hard. I remember my mother telling me she was walking to the store, and the man jumped out the bushes, put a knife to her throat, and said, over in the bushes. And a number of women had been raped going through this pathway to the store. And he jumped out the bushes, put a blade right to her throat, and said, over in the bushes. And so as he was dragging her over in the bushes, all my mother knew to say, Jesus, Jesus. And right about that time, this man on his way to the store, he's walking through the pathway, just whistling and everything. Who knows who he was? But he's just walking through, and the man dropped the knife and ran for his life. And my mother was free, and she went home, and all she kept saying was, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's the same pathway where my mother told me not to walk across the little creek part, and me and my friends were down there walking across. And I almost slipped in and could have drowned and all that, but God was so faithful. And today, so I went back there, and I'm driving around reminiscing, thinking about all the things, and just driving around saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That was the same area where one night I was sitting out. My mother and them had gone to the store. My cousins had taken them. There wasn't enough room in the car. And so they left me sitting on the side of the road. It's okay. It happens. You know, but I was like 7 years old. And it's about 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And so they all went. They all went to the store. And so I'm sitting outside waiting for them to come back. And a rock about this big flew past my head. Felt like it touched the hair on my eyebrow. Flew past my head and kept right on going. And when I drove back over there, I remember that. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. See. And when I emailed my sisters, I said to them, I said, you may wonder why I go back over there every now and again and I tell you about it. Because I know, you know, they're like, why you keep going back over there? I said, because when I go, I realize this, that before I ever got saved, God was watching over me. Before you came into the kingdom, God was watching over you. Just look back. Look back and remember all the times. Remember all what could have happened but didn't. And realize and recognize that God was watching over you. And I just say, so when I come to this scripture, and it says, therefore by him let us continue offer the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Boy, I'm living that. I'm living that. Because the older I get, the more I realize, the more He's sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. Seems like he's gooder and gooder or more good. Come on now. He's more good. He's gooder. He's gooder and gooder as every year goes by. I'm realizing this. And so not only did Psalm 50 tell, kind of break away not, from blood sacrifice and said offer to God thanksgiving, prophetically speaking into our time, if you will. But Psalm 69, verse 30 says this, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Listen, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hoofs. This shall please the Lord better than an ox. Why? Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the need for blood sacrifice. Now what the Lord says is praise him with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Have you ever noticed about the religions? I mention this every now and again. About the religions of the world. That when you look at Christianity, Christianity is the religion that sings. When's the last time you heard a Hindu choir lift up a song of thanks for their redemption? When was the last time you saw an Islamic choir bellowing out thanks because of the redemption that has been purchased for them? Where is it? Where is the Confucius choir or the, you name all the, you know, world religions? Where are the choirs that are singing? Well, you see, Christianity's God is their Father. He's our Father. I can sing all day about my Father, Jesus Christ. Come on, he's a personal God. And so that's why David, the command in the Psalms, the most prolific command is to sing. Sing to the Lord a new song. And so you've got the Hallelujah Chorus. You've got all of these people being inspired to write these grandiose, I mean, songs that take you to the heights and you're singing and wondering where you are, so much so that the unsaved people say, I get goosebumps when I hear that song. You're looking at them like, how are you getting goosebumps? What's up with you? They feel something. Why? Because that song was inspired. Because the scripture says to sing. And we sing. Psalm 107:22 says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 116, verse 17 says, the verse before it says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his good works towards me? Verse 17 says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. The word continually says, let us, therefore, by him let us continually offer. Now, in Old Testament times, in times of Israel, all the males were required to appear before the Lord three times, the Feast of Israel, Passover, you know, unleavened bread, tabernacles, and Pentecost. You were to come before the Lord. But also, there were sacrifices made, you know, Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. You had, you know, different times where they were to come. But even in the Old Testament, there's this continually seen, this concept of sacrifices being made continually. In Exodus chapter 29, many of you will remember that after the tabernacle was dedicated and so forth, that God commanded. I remember the man who started this church, his name was Michael Mingo. I'll never forget Brother Mingo preaching Exodus chapter 29. I was eating it up like a child eating candy. I mean, I'm just sitting there just eating this thing. And he would talk about the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. So many of you remember that in the story of Elijah, when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and the 450 prophets of the Baal and 450 of the Asherah, he was challenging them and he said, cut up a bull and everything. And they were cutting themselves and Elijah called fire down from heaven. Well, the scripture says this, at about the time of the evening sacrifice. See, at the evening sacrifice, Elijah then began to call upon God. What's that evening sacrifice? It goes back to Exodus chapter 29. Because the Lord told them after they had erected the tabernacle and dedicated everything, he says, you shall offer an offering in the morning, a lamb of the first year. You'll offer one in the morning and you'll offer one in the evening. I got legalistic with that when I first got saved because Brother Mingo would preach, but he didn't say be legalistic with it. I'd get up in the morning and I would offer the morning sacrifice. I would praise him in the morning. I spent an hour in prayer, hour in worship, and then an hour reading the Bible. Literally, I was doing that. Then the evening came, I come home from work, hit my knees. I'm in prayer. I'm offering up another sacrifice. I mean, you know, you can't keep doing that. Life going to interrupt. Is that right? Life going to interrupt. So my legalism had to get broken up. But I was offering it because he was preaching it in that vein, but I was taking it literally, you see. But Exodus 29, listen, verse 38, it reads this way. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. In other words, this happened from the time that Solomon built the temple until the Jews marched in, Titus marched in AD 70 and defiled the temple and burnt it to the ground. The daily sacrifice. In the morning and in the evening, throughout Jewish history, it happened. All through your Old Testament. All through it, it happened. Think about that. A lamb of the first year, one in the morning, one in the evening. Okay. We're talking about, he says this, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Continually. That's what I'm after, that continually. Because he said, therefore, by him, let us offer unto God, let us continually offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. Exodus 29:41 says, and the lamb you shall offer at twilight, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with his grain offering, his drink offering, as in the morning. And listen, this was the reason for the offering. For a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. It produced a sweet aroma to God. He ordered it that it be done. He commanded it. Exodus 29:42, next verse, it says this. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Now, listen, the Jews said the reason why God ordered this offering was to wipe away the sin of the nation in the morning and wipe it away in the evening. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what the scripture says. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak with you. Offer it at this place because I want to meet with you and I want to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. We would have pictures of this in our services. Because our pastor would teach us, he said, listen, when you praise and worship God, and any of you have been in any prophetic meetings, you've seen this happen. The prophets began, now I'm in 2 Kings chapter 3, where they told Elisha to prophesy. And he said, bring me a minstrel. Oh, Lord have mercy. Bring me a minstrel. See, oftentimes when my daughter, and it started happening with Carol, when she sits at the keyboards and hit the first key, I started hearing the prophetic river starts to flow. I started hearing from heaven. It's just there's just this river that's flowing, see? A river of praise, a river of worship. It never ends. We stopped here, but heaven's still rolling. It's still going, that river of life. And when we start worship, we just get in it for a little while. But they're still rolling. It's still going. And then we stop. We get out. But they're still, it's still going. It's a prophetic flow, right? And so so when we worship God, then the prophetic, we would have prophetic words. We get prophecies now. It's just that sometimes people don't give them. You've been hearing from God. Come on, somebody say amen. You know it's true. You hear from God, but you don't say anything because, wow, was that just me? Oh, I wonder, what if I miss it? What if this is not? No, just speak by faith. Speak by faith. But that is a picture of what is happening here where they offered the sacrifice. Here it was a lamb. Here in our time it's the sacrifice of praise. And he says, I will come, I will meet with you, and I will speak with you. Yeah, it's a pattern. Okay, so, but what we offer is not based upon sin, as I believe that this offering in Exodus 29 was not based upon sin, but what we offer is based upon his character and his goodness. Amen? David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David worship the Lord, and David, the first psalm he wrote in Second Chronicles or First Chronicles chapter 22, the first psalm that he presented says this: "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And why? David would not be the person you would ask, "Why do you give thanks, David?" Because David would start his list: the lion and the bear. How he delivered me from the lion and the bear. Then he go to Goliath. They say there's this big old giant. And he delivered me from the giant. And then I was chased for I don't know how many years, 15 years in the wilderness by Saul. And God delivered me from Saul. I mean, David would go on and on and on and on. It's like some saints, you ask them, why you give thanks to the Lord? They go, why, Lord Sugar, sit down. I got something to tell you. I bet you turn Zelda loose right now. She keep us here all day and all night long because God has done so much. But saints, aren't we to be that way? Aren't we to be that way? Because we need to give thanks. Listen, the more you give thanks is an indication that you realize. See? Is that you realize. See, when Jesus left the 10 lepers and one turned around, he said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? But only one turned around. Why? Because he realized something. There are plenty of us, we need to give thanks, but we don't realize how much. But one day, we will. One day, we're going to realize even more so. Psalm 52, verse 1, David said, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. The goodness of God endures continually. So David's praise endured continually because God was good. The scripture goes on and says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips. Isaiah 57 and 19, God says this, I create the fruit of the lips. I create the fruit of the lips. Now see, when I read that, and then I read Hebrews 13, 15 that says, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. To me, it translates this way. If God creates the fruit of my lips, then what it's saying to me is that he creates thanksgiving in me. He creates it. Why? Well, all you have to do is live this life long enough and let its billows and its waves go over you long enough, and you will know there's some challenges that are going to be had in this life. And it isn't until he steps in and delivers you and sets you free that you know you got something much to give thanks for, whereby the fruit of your lips have been created by what he has delivered you from. And so he says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near. Hosea 14:2 says, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. The prophet says, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. I cannot say enough about Thanksgiving, thankfulness. We have a holiday coming up soon in this nation called Thanksgiving, because our forefathers recognized they didn't call him the Lord Jesus Christ. They many times didn't refer to him as Father, but they would often say Providence. Providence, the one who has provided. I remember Abraham referring to him as such, as Jehovah Jireh, the one who would provide for me. The word thankful, interesting one to me, definition says aware and appreciative, not just appreciative of a benefit, but you can't be appreciative if you're not aware that someone has done something for you, right? And so, you know, God has created the fruit of our lips by delivering us through the work of Calvary. Then he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that in everything we're to do what? Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, the way I'm finding this out so much, you know, when you see what could have been unleashed against you and what God delivered you from, thanksgiving abounds. When you live this life and you keep living, those of you who are 45 and up, okay, you... Now, young people, you may remember this later on in your life. You may not, but you'll experience it. That's for sure, should the Lord tarry. But you will begin to give God thanks every time you move. See, because when you walk, one day you will experience this. When you walk up the step and something go pow, ping, and you feel things happening, and you say, what on earth? And I just said, the Bible says, in everything, in this thing right here, give thanks. Why? Because I every morning I get up. I have a physical job, you see. I lift hundreds of pounds, sometimes at a time, okay? And when I do, and I do it without a ping or a pang or a pain, you don't understand. Every day I say, thank you, Father. When I almost fall down the steps, and I come home, I tell my children, I said, I almost fell down the steps today, and they just bust. I'm like, you know, y'all, you know what? Y'all something else. But I thank Jesus. I'm serious. I thank God that I can do what I do. And when you're young, this never passes your mind. But when you get old, oh, let me tell you something. You're going to be full of praise. You'll be full of thanks. Because really, really, you'll know that it's by the grace of God. Hello? Come on now. So in everything, give thanks. Colossians 3:17 says, in whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We give thanks through Jesus. That's why the writer says, by him, let us offer continually the same. By him. Why? Because without Jesus, we wouldn't know the Father. Jesus said, I came to reveal, to show you the Father. And without him, you may not remember, but we weren't too thankful when we were on the other side of the cross. We weren't thankful for anything. not to God. Come on now. And so it's giving thanks to God the Father through him, through Jesus. Okay? And then last verse, verse 16, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So in verse 15, we're told to give thanks and offer the sacrifice of praise. This has to do primarily with the voice, with our words and so forth, although it can extend into other areas. And I believe that verse 16 is that extension. See, because out of a good heart would flow good deeds, right? Out of a heart of gratitude would flow deeds of gratitude. Amen. Out of a heart blessed by the goodness of God comes good deeds toward others. And so he says, do not forget to do good and to share. Where would that be? Primarily in the body of Christ, where a need is. Where do I see a need? Where can I bless and help my brother or my sister in the Lord? Lord, help me. Help me to then do that. He says, do not forget to do good and to share. Why? For with such sacrifices, God hears our sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, but he is also very much pleased when we help our brother, when we help our sister. So, Father, help us to do so. 2 Corinthians 9 was a huge illustration of when the Corinthian saints of Macedonia sent a huge offering over to the Judean saints because of the struggle and a famine that was happening to them. And it caused much thanksgiving to God, but it was caused by them sending a physical blessing in order to be a help to their brethren. Let's stand to our feet as we close with this song that we know so well. Goes like this, according to passage of scripture. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer unto you the sacrifices of joy again. Oh, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer unto you the sacrifices of joy. Father, we thank you. Father, we honor you. We praise you. And we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, has filled us with so many reasons to give you thanks, honor, and praise. Lord, I pray that our hearts, Lord, would be filled with gratitude, filled, oh God, Lord, thinking upon and meditating upon your goodness, Lord, that follows us all the days of our life. Lord, may we be a blessing, Lord, in the praises that we offer to you, and a blessing and a help to our brethren, Lord, that is in need, Lord, as we honor and praise your name. And we ask you all these things in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.